You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Just a note, in the light of Sunday school, someone brought up, I use a phrase, a very legitimate phrase, and I hope you understand that. I've never been and caught up in culture, slang, my little old life. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't even think like that. So people use terms. I said, what on earth are you saying? And it's a cliche, a way you describe something. I just use simple English, Webster's Dictionary, etc. That's what I use. So don't take that. Don't take something that I said out of, add to it or change it. It's a simple, wonderful language usage, and I don't know what happens. But so keep that in mind, if you would, so that we don't. Listen, I'm just a little old human being trying to make it. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm trying to do. So giving it my best shot, and what can I tell you? And we're going to go tonight and next Sunday night, probably. There's two things, we mentioned them in Sunday school, that are very helpful in understanding what's happening in our country and the world. And you need those little pieces, just two of them. It'll help you. So you want to handle what's going to happen, what is, has, and will happen. You need to have that. So we're going to try to give it a shot, and I think they help me a little bit, and hopefully they'll help you. So it's a wonderful time, an awesome time, and God's people are going to pay a price, but that's all right. That's no problem. That isn't the issue. That's a big issue, and that's what's happening and where the world's headed, and that's going to be on a collision course with God. That's not good. So believers are all set. It's just the rest. Now, John chapter 8, perhaps, if we can, look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work. Spirit of God, help us in understanding that we would have the benefits of reality, that we would have the benefits of the future, and that we can proceed down the corridor of time with some measure of enthusiasm, some measure of expectancy, and some measure of outreach, that men and women, boys and girls around us and because of us would consider you the living and only God. So God, we're thanking you very much for our assignment. Help us to fulfill it properly. In Christ's name, amen. Here in John chapter 8, you would remember, as we've been reading and studying, and here in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus, among all the members, going back and forth with the Pharisees in the temple, and in chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we share that, and the thing I want you just to latch on to, if you would, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now, in the light, and they're going to react, they're reacting, they're trying to get them all the time, but they can't get them. So now, as we proceeded in John chapter 8, sliding down to verse 25, John chapter 8 and verse 25. So they said, then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And they wanted to know, they wanted him to say, his father was God. They wanted him to say now, he was God. They wanted him to say his father was God. They didn't succeed in that. And now they want him to say he's God and blasphemy, and you could stone him and all the people would be in agreement. And so, who art thou? So now we're going to go, and they're going to react again. chapter 8 and in verse 32. You shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. And then they said, of course, verse 33, then they answered him, saying him, we be Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage or slavery to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? We're already free. We've never been in bondage. And so now, Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage, so we're trusting that we're Jews, and that that's enough. We've never offered our services to idols in the sense that the nations do. And so now, in the light of that, so in that particular way, and so now, picking up verse 39, they're going to answer again. They continue deepening. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And so now, here they are, where Abraham is our father. So we're the seed of Abraham. Our father is Abraham, and is Abraham. Now they weren't wrong, the Lord, as we shared, but they were not the children of Abraham at all. No question they were legitimate Jews, but their father was not Abraham. Abraham is our father, but he wasn't their father in a sense. Now, but evidence showed that they were not children of Abraham, and they were counting on their family, their name, their background, as people do, tradition. They're counting on the fact that we have lived a good life, that we've done everything, we aren't bad, there's worse people in the world, and we're going to slide along and get along, and we're going to come out, because after all, there's 7 billion of us on earth, plus, at the moment, and we're going to come out all right anyway. Now, having said that little bit, and in verse 39, the end, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So now we slide down, and remember, they're going to try to kill him, etc. Now, verse 41, where we were. You do the deeds, that's the word works, you do the deeds, the works of your father. That's what they do. Now, they said Abraham was our father. And he said, no, he isn't your father. There's no question of the seed of Abraham, but Abraham isn't your father. Now, so in the light of that, you do the deeds, you do the works of your father. Now, picking up that thought, keeping in mind, because we want to each time balance it so you see it, hold your finger here. We're going to go over to the book of James again. The book of James and chapter 2. And reminding you, you do the works of your father. But your father isn't Abraham. And thus, James chapter 2, which is all about works, righteousness by faith, the works evidence your faith. Verse 17, so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So you've got to evidence that you're a child of, that you belong to, that you're related to by your behavior in some way, some form. So now sliding down, James 2, picking up in verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? When he did what? When he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar, Genesis 22, he went and offered his son and was willing to kill his son in harmony with God's order, his command, to do so. And he was going to do that by faith. And he believed, as you know, in Hebrews 11 and that, Genesis 22, that even if he killed them and burned them, he'd be able to come back down with them. He believed God. Thus, verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, etc., etc. The friend of God. So, Abraham, did you go by works? No, I went by faith, and it produced my faith, resting in God and His Word, produced the work which evidenced my relationship to God. And that's what I did. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. One other place on your way back to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 3. Because you want to know, it isn't by works. And the Jewish people were counting on their works. And their works can't save them. Galatians chapter 3. Picking up, please, again on Abraham, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. But you guys aren't children of Abraham because you don't believe. You don't believe. Abraham believed God. You don't. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the nations, how? Through faith, not works, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. So Abraham, to the Jewish people, he said, you are back over to John 8, you do not do the works of Abraham. Abraham did them by faith. And that's how he was declared righteous. You do not do that. Now, going a bit further. Now they responded. Each time they respond, they weren't slaves. And now this time, in the light of the relationship as children, verse 41. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. So now we have one Father, we do these works, and we have one Father, even God. That's what we're doing. Verse 41, we have one Father. So now, each time they build. So they go from seed to children of Abraham to God. They're claiming all kinds of things. They're going to do whatever they can to survive this encounter where God destroys their whole system. And they don't want that to happen, understandably. So now, we be not born of fornication. We are not born of fornication. The word fornication has to do with prostituting one's body sexually, etc., and etc. And so it has to do with that, and then all the varieties of that, and then the other words, adultery and lasciviousness. And all of those are, we'll do it. Hold your finger right here in John 8, and go with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And in Mark chapter 7, picking up, please, in thought, so you have our Lord is spelling out the human heart. Verse 18, 7:18. He saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive, understand, that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, and it cannot defile him? It isn't what you eat that you're a sinner. You can't eat sin. You can't put sin down inside of you. Because it entereth not into his heart. When all the food you eat doesn't go to your heart. It goes down your small intestine, large intestine, and out. That's where it goes. And you get the nutrients, of course. Because it entereth not, verse 19, into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats or foods. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that is what defiles him. Not what goes in, what comes out. For from within... out of the heart of man proceeds, what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, there's the word. There's our word fornications, There's our word murders, thefts, verse 22, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, having no restraint. There's no restraint. Do whatever, however you wish. That's another word. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within inside a person and defile the person. So back over to John 8. So we have, they said, we are not those of fornication. We do not have that problem. We are not of fornication at all. Now remember now, say now, we are the legitimate children of Abraham. We have not been born apart from a lawful marriage, Abraham and Sarah. We are not like Hagar with Ishmael, though then the issue, we are not like that. And we're not connected to idolatry. We aren't, that isn't involved at all of origin. And so our physical descent is clear, and we are from God. We are from God. That's what we said. We have one Father, God. And to see that in one spot, among others, over to hold your finger again, to Malachi. And in Malachi, chapter 2, picking up the thought, we are the legitimate heirs. We are legitimate children. We are legal. We aren't bastards or illegitimate. We're legal. Malachi chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 10. And here's, and by the way, now, so here are the people, their response. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man with against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? But they said, we have one Father, Abraham, and one God. They and you can go and build that and add to that. Back over to John chapter 8. So we are not born of fornication at all. And picking up, if I can, in verse 42. Remember now, we being the seed of Abraham, we're the children of Abraham, and we've been begotten by God, and we are not illegitimate children. We are very legal children. We have the legal right to say that we're children of Abraham. And God said, no, you don't. So the issue is about Father. So it isn't about idolatry, and it's about the whole subject matter now is centered from here to verse 59, about Abraham and the Lord, and their relationship to Christ is missing because their relationship to Abraham is missing. Without a right relationship to Abraham, you cannot have a right relationship to the Father. You can't do it. Abraham believed God, and what? It was counted to him for righteousness. All you are children of the seed, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like that. Then we all line up, that's how we all get in. Because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by God the Father. Now, so having said that little bit, and in picking up our thought, remember that issue, and by the way, let me just add to that. So making sure each time you have a little something to latch on to, hold your finger in John 8 again. We are legitimate legal children. Back over to Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9. Romans 9, please. And picking up, please, where you were, just to remind you and myself, verse 6. But not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, For they are not, N-O-T, all Israel which are of Israel. They aren't all? Nope. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Nope. Are they the children? Nope. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not, N-O-T, the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. That's how Isaac came. Not Ishmael, Isaac, because he believed God. And God did it in a wonderful way. And just while you're here, without losing, I hope, over to Romans chapter 2, well, you're in Romans, so you have it. You want to lock things in, and they're set. You want to understand them enough that they're locked in, and you can go with them. You can't go with something you don't understand. If you don't understand it, you aren't going to do it. So, Romans chapter 2, verse 28. He is not a Jew, for he is not a Jew, not N-O-T, a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. So you can't go outside physically. But, on the other hand, verse 29, he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not of the in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, you need to understand that you have to be a child of Abraham by faith, and you aren't. You are not that. So now, picking up that thought in mind, John chapter 8, and in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, if God were your father, and the tense is such, second class, it means, and if it were true, if it were true, but it is not. It is not true. If you were, but you are not. That's to say, you are not at all. If God were your father and he isn't, you would love me. You would love me. You love me. You would love me. What do we know in Deuteronomy 6, etc.? The word Shema, worship the Lord thy God, etc., with all thy heart. 6, 3, 4, 5, 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and all of thy soul and with all of thy mind and all of thy might. You are told to do so. But you don't love God. You have no relationship to God. You don't have a relationship. He is not your father. Abraham, thus, is not your father. Now, hang on to that. And, by the way, while you're here in John 8, John chapter 5, you'll see it. John chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, in verse 42. 5 and 42. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And they, what? You don't have, verse 42, that you have not the love of God in you. And if you had the love of God, you would love God. I am God, he said. And you don't love me. You can't love the Father if you don't love the Son. And I'm told you, I am the light of the world. I told you 1,000 ways, but you just don't listen, do you? You're sort of deaf. We're deaf. Uh-huh. Now, picking up in thought, verse 42, you would love me. Reason, for verse 42, for reason, I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I did not come of myself at all. My Father sent me. That's how I got here. That's why I'm here. And just to get a sample of that a little bit, hold your finger in John 8 and over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. you would. And may I go directly in the light of the upper room discourse, John chapter 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Verse 28. I came forth from the Father, I am come into the world, again I leave the world and go to the Father. Verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. So all kinds of ways. God, John chapter 8, and in verse, proceeded out from the Father, and he sent me, in all kinds of ways to look at that, all ways to say it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, etc. And so, and if you want to just add a little something there, over to John chapter 17, God the Father sent me. And here in the upper room, again, chapter 17, and in verse 3. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How did he get there? God the Father sent him. Back over to John 8 and 42. You would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So I have been sent by God the Father. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my speech? Now there's the little word why, interrogation, why. Why do you not, and this little phrase brings what? It brings in a universal. In all of your thinking, and all of your doing, and all of your understanding, you don't understand, not a little bit of you, the whole being, your whole heart, you don't understand. Why don't you, with your whole heart, understand? And therefore, why do you not understand? The word perceive, to know. You know, but you don't know. You don't know. Why do you not understand my speech, my utterances? Even because you cannot hear. You cannot hear what I'm saying. You cannot hear my word. You do not hear. You're not paying attention. If you were children of Abraham, you would be. But you aren't children of Abraham. And you don't hear my word, which I have uttered. You don't hear it. Even in verse 43, even because you cannot hear my word, and we just shared that together, you are not hearing it. You had no knowledge in your head or heart. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear at all. You don't want to hear. You want to hear, but you don't want to understand. You don't want to understand. You want to just make an argument about something. No, you ought to hear so you can understand. But they don't. They don't have that at all. And therefore, their heart, they hear, but they don't hear. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, you would recall our Lord bringing the message of Isaiah forward, that Isaiah was to go to the people and tell them, and they would not listen. They did not have ears to hear, and they didn't hear. So now you're going to repeat God here in Matthew, in Acts. You're going to say it again. You're going to use it again, God, because after all, it's the same crowd, the same thinking, the same approach. You don't understand. You don't want to hear. 13, chapter 13, verse 9. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And thus the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto us in parables? And God told them, because of their unbelief. Now sliding down, if I can, verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because They seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. If you don't hear and don't see, you don't understand. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. In other words, the more you hear, the more deaf you become. I don't want to hear that. Do you ever hear this people say? Don't say that again to me. Don't say that again to me. I don't want to hear that again out of your mouth. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You say it again. Hear it. Hear it. And you keep doing that. Now you have to be careful, of course. You know, like we shared before, you want your loved ones saved in that. And in the process of doing so, you don't want to take the mirror that they shave or fix in and cover it in big, big red letters. You need to be, you're going to, if you don't, you're going to be condemned. You're already a sinner. You need to repent. And all of those words, and they can't do it because they can't see themselves, and they erase it, and tomorrow morning you come back and write it up all over again. And then the next day, that's not the way to go. 1 Peter 3, don't go that way. Don't go that way, you know. Now, Matthew 13, if I can, and remember now, and seeing they shall not perceive. I'll read verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, with all the murder and lasciviousness and fornication and all of that which is in it, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Why? Lest, so that it wouldn't happen. At any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. We don't want to let that happen to us. We don't want to let that happen to us. We don't want to let that happen at all. So now, having said that little bit, back over to John chapter 8. They love darkness rather than light, remember. And so in the process, we are not born of fornication, but God said, you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole relationship. Verse 42, we read together. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, language? Utterances, even because you cannot hear my word, you don't want to hear what I have to say. So therefore they had no knowledge of his word. They had no understanding of his word. And thus they're going to be in great trouble. Because, and hang, I need a little help here, over to John chapter 12. And picking up just a thought so you see it. John 12, and picking up, please, in verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So I gave you my words. You didn't want to hear my words. You rejected my words, and therefore you didn't understand them because you wouldn't receive them. And if you don't receive the food, you can't digest it. If you don't put food in, you can't digest it. You got to put it in. You can't just spit it out, taste it, spit it out. You got to let it go down and digest so you have the nutrients. You aren't receiving my word. You haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior at this point. And thus, sliding down now, now you come, what he held back, he didn't say, remember he said, you do the works of Abraham, and you are, verse 41, you do the deeds, the works of your father, but he hasn't said what he's going to say directly. He's built them up and built them up and built them up. And now he's going to say it, boom. You are of your father the devil. You are of your father the devil. The devil, his wonderful, his awesome, wonderful, or wonderful in that bad kind of way. His evil character. He is the total source. He's the total source. He is. And thus, we're looking now, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, the lust has to do with desire, a desire of the mind, to set one's mind upon something, to lust after, to have an appetite, to be satisfied. What are you looking for, guys? I'm looking at these Pharisees, among others, and I'm looking at them. And what are they? What are they doing? They aren't after God. They aren't after the works of God. What are they doing? The lust of your father you will do. Now, what do you mean, the lust of your father? This, what is the father, devil, the author of this kind of thinking, the author of it, the father of it, how does he think? What does he think? And how do you guys relate to that? I'll tell you straight out, he said. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You're going to be doing them, going to set your mind on them. Now, help me some more. What about my father, if he's the devil? He was a murderer from the beginning. He is a murderer from the beginning. Now, what are you guys up to? You are bent on murdering me, aren't you? Over and over and over again, you want to kill me. That's the devil. That's not of God. That's of the devil. And the devil is a murderer. And where do you pick up that mood? We just read it, the works of the flesh in Mark 7 and that, one of which is murder. It's in us. And if we aren't looking to God to rescue us from our old nature, then we're going to follow that. Crucify him, they yelled. We have no king but Caesar. Ah, murder. Ah. You are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer. Now, and you'd know, just a little bit to catch that. Oh, to do it. Over a little bit. Over, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. The devil's a one smart rascal. And I use that in a good way, in case you don't understand. Rascal. Now, he probably appreciates I made it so low key. You know. Genesis 3 and verse 4. What did the serpent? The devil entered the serpent and used the serpent to speak. The serpent doesn't speak. The devil speaks using the serpent. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, the devil, you shall not surely what? You're never going to die. You're never going to die. That's a lie, a downright lie. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And what did he say? You're never going to die. And then the rascal, is it all right to say that again? I didn't mean to say that. Here he is again. Now what? Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, picking up please in verse 8. Cain talked with Abel, remember, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him and cut his throat. Now, I thought you said we wouldn't die. Ah, that's true. That's a big lie. And then what? I'm going to try to kill everyone that gets in my way, including the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gives righteousness. And I'm wrong. Therefore, I'm a murderer. And we are going to murder him, which is what they do. That's what they're going for. Wow. You are of your father the devil. Wow. That thought, you say. Now, hang on. And without taking time, you could read that in John, of course, in that. So here's the devil, yes, and coming. And he attacks the character of God, the Word of God, the person of God. That's what he's going to do. And I've got to go one other place, reluctantly. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, because it would help us. You're a murderer and a liar. That's what you do. You murder and lie. That's the devil. He's the father of it. He's the father of lying and murder. And he fed that into you so that you would leave God, who is a God of life and God of truth. And when you turn your eye back against the God of life and truth, you're left with death and error. And that's what I want you to be in the dark. So you think in the dark, say in the dark, talk in the dark, fight in the dark, and you're never, never right. You're always wrong when it comes to God. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Sliding down, verse 25, they hold the truth in the wrong way. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here they are. They have gone. John chapter 8 again. And verse 44, you are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. No, he didn't do that. He hates the truth because there is no truth in him. So from top to bottom, stem to stern, he's wrong, dark, evil, a liar, a murderer. He has no good. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. It's his own character. It's his own thing. He's doing his own nature. It's his own essence to do so. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when you go and honor, you're lying and murdering, and you're doing everything. Nothing of God, everything of the devil. That's what you're doing. Wow. And thus, and he's going to go and he hoodwinks us with this lie all over the place. Now, over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this business of the Father and people lining up with the devil, not lining up with God, lining up with the devil. That's what we got going on in our country. And 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, getting the thought. Remember, liar, cheat, evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, picking up a false deceiver. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, that wicked one, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, why? Because, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to be saved. That's simple. Why don't you want to know? Because I don't want to change. I don't want to honor God. Why don't you just say so? I don't want to honor God. Just say so. Don't give all the other stuff. I don't want to honor God. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to know. And thus, I'm going to become deaf. And you know, we won't get to it, but the more you keep doing that, what do they become? Now, you can get a hearing thing, doojiggies for your ears. But when you become spiritually deaf, hearing, and refusing to hear, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And you will never hear. You put yourself in the place where you made yourself spiritually deaf, so that all that is said and preached, you don't hear it. You'd have to ask of the world out there, of all the stuff you know that is wrong, why don't you hear them that are telling you and explaining why it's wrong? Why don't you hear them? We don't have an ear to hear, and we don't want to hear that. And you know what? They won't eventually be able to hear it at all. They'll never hear it. Wow. Well, that's something, you know. You can go to Bell or whatever these other things are and get little doojiggies, you know, like the wolf with the, you know, all the better to hear you with. So, now, in Thessalonians, and verse 12, verse 11, for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they might be damned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God, now, we want to close, and we have to close right where we're at. So now, in the light of that, God, here we are, over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 6. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, picking up, if I can, very quickly, to get the flavor of it. You are not the... Your father is not Abraham. Your father is not God. Your father is the devil. He's the source of all that's in your head and heart, because you've chosen it so. And remember in Matthew 13, next verse, blessed are you, for your eyes see and your ears hear. Blessed are you when you hear. Blessed. Revelation 1:3, blessed are your eyes and your ears when you hear, when you're reading and pick it up, and most of it just sort of drifts right by, you know. Did any of it lock in? You don't want to be like a rock. You want to be like a sponge. And you want to be like a sponge that's ready to soak up information, truth. Soak it up. If you don't soak it up, you don't have it in you. And then when you got it in your head and heart, you can develop it. God will develop it and teach you. But you got to have it there for God to work with. Now, so here, 2 Corinthians, if I can. Verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, that's an awesome, awesome thought, a wonderful thought. Now, God, what are you trying to tell the Pharisees and the Jewish people? Don't get tied up with their thinking. Don't yell, crucify him, crucify him. Don't get away from that. Get with Peter, James, and Paul and believe. And believe. Verse 17, when you come out and get saved. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Abraham is not your, you are not a child of Abraham. You are not a child of God. God, you want to be the father, and you want to be our father, because we have a wonderful Savior, that's you, in the person of Jesus Christ who dies for us. So, God, you want to be a father to me, to us in person? I do. You want to personally be my father, your father. Personal. Like persons. Personal. And not only do you want to be personal, you want to have it personal. You want me to understand your position as father. You are my father. So I'm going to say, my father, Abba Father. I'm going to say that. The Pharisees aren't able to say that in the context where we're at. They aren't able to say that. And so in practice, God, you're going to be my father in practice. I am. I want you to know that you and I are going to have a unique personal relationship, and that relationship is exclusively mine. It belongs to no one else. I am your Father. Trust me. And I will be a father. Do you know what it's like to have a... I had a father. I went away and did all stuff when I was growing up, and all that stuff. And in the process, you know, but when my father was there, and I was in the place, do you know, it was wonderful to have my father there, because he could help me in all kinds of ways. If I had questions, wonderment, if I had a concern, a fear, frustration, he was there in a human way. If my father, Luke, being evil, knew how to do that, how much more shall God do for me? My father. I will be your father. Do you understand that personally? I know it isn't Father's Day, but it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. I will personally be your father. They don't know that. But you need to, and I need to, learn. I don't want to become spiritually deaf. God, I want to have an ear to hear. I want to be quick, like in Psalm 32. I want to be quick. I don't want to be dull of hearing. I want to be able to be like the feather in the water. And the feather isn't like a horse that needs to be bridled and pull and tug to get it to move. I don't want to be like that, Psalm 32. I want to be like a little feather. And God, I want to flow with you. I want to go with you. I want you to be all that you are. Wonder of wonders. All that you are in my life, our lives. And that's what the world needs to see. And things are going to may get tougher yet. But you know what? Believers need to show up that they're believers. And the world will do what it does. The believers are all right. It's the world that's in trouble. The world's in trouble because it's getting deaf and deafer. And it's getting harder and harder. And less are they going to change. Do you understand? It's not going to happen. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. And God, who are we? God, we're just us. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your commitment to be. So we do not have to say like they did, Abraham is our father. We don't have to say that God is our father and then wonder. On the contrary, we aren't confirmed by you, Spirit of God, as you cry, Abba, Father, as our Lord Jesus Christ makes us sons. And our Father, we come to you as sons with the understanding and the language that you give us. Father, Abba, Father, my Father, our Father, thank you very, very, very much. God, deal with the heart of each one, that truly they'd receive you as their Lord and Savior. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that.